hands for joy to be in God's house. Amen. As the orchestra played that song about my father's house, I thought of another old chorus that we used to sing about come and go with me to my father's house. And it sings a few stanzas and says, where there's joy, joy, joy. And it just occurred to me that on a cold, snowy morning such as we have today, it might have taken a little extra motivation for some folks to get to the house of God. But then I thought further that for those of us who understand the value of God's house, the importance of God's house, the joy of God's house, it didn't take much motivation to get down here, did it? No problem. We are in the house of the Lord today. And I know along with me, you are glad for that great opportunity. Well, let's look to the word of the Lord today. If you would, turn to the book of Daniel. No, I'm sorry. Hebrews. Daniel's another verse. Hebrews chapter 12. And beginning to read with verse 22. Hebrews 12 and 22. I didn't give Sister Clark the verses for the screen, so you're forced to look at your Bibles. How's that? Hebrews 12, 22. That's as fine print as mine. You can't see it, but anyway. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And this morning, I just want to pose this question for my topic. What makes the church so special? What makes the church so special? And would you join with me in prayer that God would anoint his word to our hearts today? Jesus, thank you for it. I appreciate the wonderful atmosphere of praise and adoration. Thank you for everybody who has taken the time to come indeed to your house. Anoint, O Lord. Me to declare this theme and message. Let it be a help to everybody today. Let us indeed find the joy and the peace and the righteousness that you have for us in our experience with you and even in this place literally today. Let it happen for the glory of the Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. How many of you on just a moment's notice could show by lifting your hand that you could think of a special place to you? I don't know, vacation spot, restaurant, relative's house, I don't know, your mother-in-law's, anywhere that's special that you would like to visit or frequent. Well, for me growing up here in South St. Louis, a very special place for me was my Aunt Marie's. Somewhere, I guess, back in my toddler stage or in that time period, the first syllable got dropped off and it was just Aunt Reese. And Aunt Ree, my dad's sister, and her husband and family lived in Fenton. And it pains me to say, but this was back in the days when Fenton was the country. And I can distinctly remember getting in the car, even on a Sunday afternoon quite often. And we had a choice. This was variety's the spice of life. We could take Highway 30, which is Gravois. We could take Highway 66, which is Chippewa, and then Watson. We'd go way out to Bowles Avenue, and if you're familiar with that area, I assure you it doesn't look a thing like it did back then today. Bowles Avenue was just a little two-lane. It was a little tavern on the corner. That was our landmark. We knew we had to get off and turn left there down the road to Aunt Ree's house, and I have a lot of fond memories of going there because it was a special place. We'd spend Sunday afternoons there, and then holiday time, Thanksgiving, without question, we were always there. Christmas Eve, we were always there. And a lot of exciting things happened while I was there. My cousins, Sherilyn and Judy, on occasion, they'd take me to the back room, and we'd go through the closets, and they'd dress me up in all kinds of outlandish clothes and put a guitar around me, and we'd come out and have a little show for the rest of the family. I guess they were Borgateers, but I had a good time. And then I can remember wrestling with my cousin Carl, or as I paused to think about it, it was more like being attacked by my cousin Carl. He pinned me down and tickled me. I couldn't stand that. But we did those things, played football out in the backyard, and then one of my favorite activities was exploring unknown territory. There was, across the gravel road from Aunt Ree's house, a little wooded area on the corner lot of the neighbors across the street. It was just trees and shrubs, but kind of led down to a culvert alongside Bowles Avenue, and I would go over there with my faithful companion, Pup. Pup was a black Labrador that Carl literally had found along the roadside, and He was a pup, so they just called him Pup, and the name stuck, and he was around, I guess, till the day of his death. But I always enjoyed hanging out with Pup, and I'd get my wooden Kentucky rifle that I got for one Christmas, and we would go Daniel Boone style exploring all through the trees and shrubs, and we would travel uncharted land. We'd blaze new trails. We'd fight entire tribes of Indians, just me and Pup, and we always won. It was so exciting. And you get the feeling this was a special place for me? It really was a very special place, and to this day, around Thanksgiving, Christmas time, I just kind of have a little empty spot in my heart remembering those days, knowing we can't go back to them. And everybody has special places. My brother, I don't know what's wrong with him, but when he comes to town for a few days, he has this food circuit that he has to follow. If you can't find him at my mom and dad's house, call either Imo's, Jack in the Box, or White Castle. Those are special places for him. He will be at those places before he leaves town and goes back to Baltimore. We all have special places like that. Some, it's Ted Drew's. And by the way, I think it's opening soon, right? February 11th, our pastor says. Is he counting down the days or what? The special places that we have, relatives and restaurants and places that we like to vacation and frequent, we all have them. And in the Old Testament, Jerusalem was a very special place for the people of God. Moses, their leader, way back generations prior, had predicted that God would one day choose a place from all the tribes of Israel. He would place his name, and that would be the place, the special place that God's people would gather. We know that during David's reign, Jerusalem was conquered. The tabernacle was set up there. Later, Solomon's temple was built. And for Israel, it was the place. It was the special place that God had chosen that they were to frequent. It was there that the sacrifices were offered morning and evening, and then once a month at the full moon, all the various rituals were followed. It was the place that you brought your tithes. It was the place that you brought your offerings of all types and sorts. It was the place that Israel, all of Israel, were instructed to gather at least three times a year. And today, it remains at the center of controversy for Mideastern peoples. It's just a very, very special place for the Israelites. And in the New Testament, thankfully in the year 2000, we don't go to the holy city. We don't go to what is called Mount Zion. We don't visit Jerusalem. But as Hebrew 12 tells us in our text today, we come to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. It all got started in the book of Acts chapter 2. And if you're familiar with that portion, you know that about 120 believers were gathered with one accord, one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all that house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. It sat upon each of them, and the scripture says they were all, every one of them, filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues. That was the birth of the New Testament church. And by the way, when you read on in that chapter, after Peter got done preaching, the folks listening wanted to know, how can we be members of that church? And he clearly told them, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was the start of the church, and thankfully, it wasn't limited to geography. But in Acts 1:8, Jesus had told the believers, you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. So thankfully, that church is not limited or bound by geography, but it goes everywhere. It reaches all peoples and all places, and certainly it's not limited by a building. Thank God the church is more than brick and mortar, amen? Thank God the church is more than just trusses and framework. It exceeds and goes beyond just a building. However, having said all that, let me be quick to add, the meeting place of a local congregation is a special place. The place where God's people choose to gather, it is special. And the church, when we talk about it, it can be addressed in a figurative sense, a broad sense, or a literal, narrow sense. We can talk about the church in very general terms, or we can talk about the church in a very specific way, the place that we actually gather. And this morning, just for a few moments, I want to look at a very literal, specific application of the church and offer four reasons. Maybe there are a lot more, but just four reasons that make the church so very special. What makes the church so special? And the first reason that I offer is because it's a place to have encounters with God. This is a place that you can come and have an encounter of God. You can have a personal encounter. You can have a corporate encounter. But it's a place where you can have encounters with God. To be sure, a person can encounter God anywhere. Moses encountered him out of a bush that was burning and not consumed. Gideon encountered God while on a threshing floor. Paul encountered God on a Damascus road. The light shone from heaven and a voice boomed and spoke to him. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. So you can encounter God anywhere, but there's just something special about the place where God's people choose to gather. Something special about the place where God's people kind of collect themselves. It's not sacred. It doesn't become a shrine. I mean, even this literal building that we're in, it's the second one on this spot. So there's nothing sacred or special about this building. And churches can be remodeled. Churches can be moved. There's nothing sacred about it. It doesn't become a shrine, but it is a special place. It is a special place because of what transpires or takes place. And this place right here, this building that we're in today, it is a special place. Because we've come to gather and worship the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's just all kinds of things that make this place special. You can make your own list, I suppose, but I made these few listings. It's a special place when Brother Rick Bintrop and members of the prayer force gather us together before service, quote-unquote, even starts, because it opens a channel to God, doesn't it? This kind of becomes the gateway, if you will, to the presence of the Lord God, because it's a place of prayer. Folks gather and call upon the name of the Lord. It's a special place when musicians and singers assemble and Brother Mike Wilkins or Brother Gary Swift step to this pulpit and start leading us in some choruses and people join in spontaneous and heartfelt worship. There's just something that happens. There's an atmosphere that's created, an atmosphere of adoration and praise. And in that kind of a realm, I'm convinced, in fact, I know it personally, God can work. God can move. God can transform when praise and adoration and worship is offered unto him. It's a special place when a minister steps to the pulpit and opens the Bible and declares the truth, because faith comes by hearing. And when faith comes, it starts to operate. So I sort of see this place as an operating room for faith. The word is preached. Faith comes and faith starts to operate. And things happen when we offer our faith to God. Because we know the scripture tells us God always rewards faith. This is a special place when the ministry takes the bottle of oil and anoints sick people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prayer of faith does save the sick. It's a special place when altars fill up with folks that want to draw nearer to God, or they have a guilt in their hearts and they want to come and repent and make changes. It's a special place when folks go down into this water in the baptismal tank in the name of Jesus Christ and come up with their sins remitted. It's a special place when God pours out his Spirit and fills someone with that Spirit and they begin speaking in other tongues. I wonder who could wave an arm today and say it happened to you right here in this place. You receive the Holy Ghost. Doesn't that make it special to you? Lives are changed. Lives are transformed when we get together in his presence. And today, you have come to a place, not the only place, I'll quickly add, but you've come to a place that God frequents. You've come to a place where you can have an encounter with God. I believe that with all of my heart. This is a place that God is comfortable. I'm convinced of that. This is a place where God is at home. Now, you pardon me if I sound a little exclusive, because I don't mean it that way at all, but I'm convinced that God has our service schedule on his calendar. I am. In fact, if he doesn't, why do we come, right? Why bother coming? I really do believe God's got our service schedule marked on the calendar. He knows when it's time to have church. He knows when God's people are gathering down at 1301 Gravel. He's very much aware of that. He's very much plugged into it. And because of it, you can encounter God today. You can encounter a God of healing. You can encounter a God of provision. You can encounter a God of deliverance. There's just no limit to what God can do for you. Really, what it depends on is your need. You've got a need, I've got a God that can match that need. You've got a situation in front of you. God can match that situation with a solution. You've come to a place where you can encounter God. Have a need for transformation within your soul. I'm preaching about a God who's come to this place. It's his house. It's his house. He can transform you. He can make you a new creation. You've come to a place where the mighty God dwells. You've come to a place where the Prince of Peace dwells. His presence is hovering over this place. Oh, anybody ever encountered God right here? I know you've encountered him other places, but how about right here? Could you just wave that arm again in thanksgiving? Thank God we can encounter him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Time won't allow me to tell, but I've got them. Dates, January 19th, 1975, I encountered God. February 6th, 1977, I encountered God. I can take you to different parts of this building. What's now the Sunday School Supply Room, for those of you who know, used to be a classroom. I had an encounter with God there. Remember in this very sanctuary, Friday night, about a four-hour prayer meeting with a bunch of people that gathered. Never will forget. Encounters, 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 encounters. They happen all the time because this is a place that's special. It's a place where you can have encounters with God. And the second reason the church is such a special place is because it's a place for sustaining spiritual life. When you were born naturally, you could not have survived had you not been born into an environment that was filled with oxygen. You just can't survive without oxygen. You would not have survived when you were born naturally if someone did not feed you, if someone did not clothe you or protect you in some means, if someone had not nurtured you when you were newborn into this world, you could not have survived. You would not be here today. And when you are born spiritually of spirit and of water, you cannot survive in the environment of this world. You cannot survive in the environment of this world. We must have a spiritual atmosphere that supports, that encourages, that strengthens spiritual life. And I'm saying the church provides the right atmosphere for spiritual life. You want to know why I come to church? Because this is my environment. Want to know why I come to church? This is my atmosphere. This is where I get strengthened. This is where I find support. This is where I find encouragement. I've got to come to church. Maybe you don't have to, but I've got to come to church. I've got to get to his house. I've got to gather with his people. I've got to lift my hands and praise him because this is the place that sustains spiritual life. When Moses was found in the bulrushes by Pharaoh's daughter, note, if you will, Egypt did not know how to care for that Hebrew child. Egypt did not know how to care for Moses, but a Hebrew family did. And by divine arrangement, God made sure that Moses got proper care. God made sure that Moses got godly oversight. God made sure that Moses had spiritual development in his life. This world cannot give you a spiritual identity, but the church can. It can give you a sense of belonging. It can provide for you a family when you don't even have a natural family to surround you. The world cannot give you spiritual identity, but the church can. The world is not concerned about your spiritual welfare, but the church is. You know that as well as I do. The church doesn't care if you please God or not, but the church does. It's interested in your spiritual welfare. The world will not provide spiritual care. That's the last thing that it will offer, but the church will. The church will provide spiritual care. It's a place for sustaining spiritual life. It's a place where you can have encounters with God. It's a place where spiritual life is sustained. And the third reason is it's a place for you to grow spiritually. It's a place where you can grow spiritually. It's interesting to me that the disciples, or if you'll let me call them this, the members of the church were first called Christians at Antioch. You'd think, man, as soon as Acts chapter 2 was finished, that would be it. But it didn't happen, did it? After the lame man was healed in Acts chapter 3, no. Didn't happen. After Stephen's martyrdom, you would have thought, boy, that really defines a Christian, but no. Over into the 8th chapter, the Ethiopian eunuch had the revelation of God, was saved. Didn't happen there. Even after Cornelius, the Italian, became a part of God's family. Still didn't happen, but it was in Antioch where it says they assembled for a whole year with the church, or one scholar put it this way, in the church. I don't think they literally camped out for a whole year, but they assembled for a whole year with or in the church. And what happened was they taught the Word of God. In other words, growth took place. maturity took place. It was at Antioch where they had established their walk with God that they grew spiritually, that they were called Christians. It's a place where you can grow spiritually. The church is a place where you can make yourself accountable for spiritual growth. It's a place where you can measure your progress. At home, now this was probably 2 to 4 years ago when it was a little more of interest, but we've got a particular place in our home where there are some marks on the wall if you look very closely. It's kind of inconspicuous. You wouldn't catch it. But there are marks there because as my girls were growing up, they were very interested to see how much they were growing at certain times in their young lives. And these marks were placed on the wall to measure or chart their progress. Now, they couldn't do that in your home. In fact, if they ever came over and put marks on your wall, you have my permission to explain things more perfectly to them, okay? You've got my permission to do that. They can't do that in your home, but in my house they can. In my house, they can make little marks on the wall to measure their growth. Why? Because I am interested in their growth. I'm the one that's done everything I know how to do to make sure food's on the table. I've made sure they have their health exams. I've made sure, despite their protests, they had their immunizations. I'm the one that made sure that they were growing and showing signs of health because I was interested in them. I love my girls, and I want to make sure that they're healthy and growing, and everything I can provide is provided for them. So it's okay for them to make little marks on the wall in my house. And in the church, you can also find it very comfortable to measure your growth. In the church, in this place, you can find a place to check your progress. You can find a place to see how you're doing because the church is interested in your growth. The church is interested in your health. You won't find this kind of spiritual interest out there, but you will in here. You won't find the kind of interest in your spiritual welfare and growth out in this world, but you will find it inside the church because that's what we're all about. We want folks to grow. We want folks to be healthy. We want folks to be mature. The church is a place where you can receive spiritual protection from godly leaders. They can protect you and help you along the way. And it's also a place, and I'm so glad this is true, you can find examples of the believers in the church. Now, quickly, somebody's thinking, yeah, it's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Well, that's the way you want to look at it, fine. There's a few that slip in. God knows that for sure. We know that for sure. But I'm glad I have found genuine examples of the believers in this house. In this church, in this place, you can find mentors, men and women, brothers and sisters that will help you along the way and tell you, hey, I've been down that road. I'm here pulling for you. I've gone through that before in the past. Here's why I did it. Here's how I handle it. Here's the adjustment I made. You can find that kind of help, that kind of support. It's a place where you can grow spiritually. Then the fourth reason that the church is such a special place is because it's for whosoever will. Whosoever will can come. That may be a little bit of an archaic way of putting it, but let me say it this way. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome to the church. Everyone is welcome. We've gone to people's homes and we see the traditional welcome mat on the front porch. Sometimes that's false advertisement, isn't it? You get inside and you don't feel a bit welcome, but the church has a welcoming atmosphere, a welcoming environment. Doesn't matter your nationality. Doesn't matter your age, I say thank God to that. Doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your level of education, doesn't matter your economic status. None of these things matter when it comes to the church. But whosoever will, everybody is welcome. Now in the Old Testament, I'll quickly point out, it wasn't that way. They had a much more narrow focus. In fact, on the Day of Atonement, it was just a particular person, particular man for that matter, who was able to go into a particular place at a particular time in a particular manner or way. It was very narrow. But in the New Testament, all that's been brushed aside. All that's been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and you'll find that the door is wide open today. The welcome mat is out, and it means what it says. When it comes to the church, everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. And I'm so thankful for that today because people of all backgrounds experience pain and suffering. It doesn't matter your nationality, pain and suffering crosses all those barriers. People from every station in life face trouble, anguish, confusion. Every culture has a fear, an innate fear of death and an interest and a wonder about the afterlife. It affects every language group. People from everywhere are affected by trouble and anguish and confusion and pain and suffering, and they're looking for meaning and purpose to lives. It crosses all cultures, all languages, all nationalities, all backgrounds. And so if you're here today and you're hurting down deep inside, maybe for reasons of your own, you've disguised it. Maybe you've been very careful not to let anybody else know, but if you're hurting deep inside, this is a place for you. It really is, because you can encounter God's relief from all that hurt. If you're here this morning and you're confused, again, maybe you've disguised it or tried to keep it hidden, but you're confused, this is a place for you, because you can encounter God's solution for your confusion. You're here and you're troubled, anxious, afraid even. This is a place for you, because you can encounter the peace of God in this place. Oh, I stress, it's not the only place, but it is a place. And this is a time right now where you can encounter the peace of God. If you come in this church today looking for meaning in life, I don't know, purpose. Maybe you've got a lot of money in the bank and a very fine home that you're planning to go back to this afternoon. Things are looking really well in terms of materialism, but still there's something empty on the inside. If you're looking for meaning, purpose in life, this is a place for you, because you can encounter God's purpose for your life. You can find that final piece to the puzzle through Jesus Christ today, and everything will become understandable and worthwhile in terms of your life. This is a place for everybody. For everybody. It's a place for everybody. Any kind of need, any kind of situation, any kind of problem, not because of who's gathered here, but because of the one that we've come to worship. The one whose attention is riveted upon this place right now. Right now. And as a final story from Scripture, I won't go into it in detail, but just in case you're not familiar with it, let me give you some quick background. But as a final story, Jacob in the Old Testament had an encounter with God. And what led to this encounter of God, Jacob was running scared. He had an uncertain future. He did not know how things were going to turn out. He was without direction for this little period of time in his life. Didn't have all the answers. He was guilt-ridden. He had deceived members of his family. Had actually stolen from his brother, and he was on the run. It was not a very pleasant situation for Jacob. But he fell asleep in the midst of his journey at one point, and it was during this time of sleeping that he encountered God in a dream. And it was the beginning of a long journey of God and Jacob, or a relationship with God and Jacob that ultimately had a happy ending. But here's what I want to stress. When Jacob awoke from that dream, he made this comment that I have been puzzled and baffled by. He said, "Surely the presence of God is in this place, and I did not know it." Here he was with all this difficulty, all this problem, all this situation in front of him, looking for answers, but when the answer came, he had been unaware of it until God sort of woke him up, made him come to a realization that I'm your answer. I'm your solution. I'm the one that can help you. Today, if you would very reverently just stand in the presence of the Lord, keep your attention riveted upon God and this place and a potential encounter that someone's looking for today with him. Maybe your situation is the very same as Jacob's, or similar, or maybe on the other side it's unlike or totally opposite his situation. I don't know what you've come today, but if you're here, and this is the key, this is what all this comes down to, if you're here looking for an encounter with God, you can have it this morning. You can have it today. This is a place where you can encounter God. What you need to do is, unlike Jacob, realize God is in this place. God is in this place. God is in this place. He's here. He's among us. And because of that, you can have an encounter with him. And today, if you've come seeking an encounter, we don't have to know it. It doesn't have to be defined or explained to us unless you just choose to do it. But if you've come looking for an encounter, I invite you to make your way toward the front of this church and find a place, a literal place, where you can encounter God. anybody, anywhere. There are no conditions to this. It's just your desire. If you want to come, you can do it. The Bible is filled with examples of people who encountered God. Notice, if you will, the change. The blind man encountered Jesus. He left seeing. The demoniac encountered Jesus. He left clothed and in his right mind. He was no longer a lunatic.